Chapter 10 Christmas. At last the holidays came. The convicts did hardly any work on Christmas Eve. Some went to the sewing rooms and workshops. The others were sent to their different tasks, but for the most part, singly or in groups, came back to prison immediately afterwards, and they all remained indoors after dinner. Indeed, the majority had left the prison in the morning more on their own business than for the regulation work. Some to arrange about bringing in and ordering vodka, others to see friends, male and female, or to collect any little sums owing to them for work done in the past. Baklushin and others who were taking part in the theatricals went to see certain acquaintances, principally among the officers' servants, and to obtain necessary costumes. Some went about with an anxious and responsible air, simply because others looked responsible, and though many of them had no grounds for expecting money, they too looked as though they were reckoning on getting it. In short, everyone was looking forward to the next day in expectation of a change, of something unusual. In the evening, the veterans in charge who had been to the market for the convicts brought in eatables of all sorts, beef, suckling pigs, even geese. Many of the convicts, even the humblest and most careful, who used to save up their farthings from one year's end to another, felt obliged to be lavish for such an occasion, and to celebrate fittingly the end of the fast. The next day was a real holiday, guaranteed to them by law, and not to be taken from them. On that day, the convict could not be set to work, and there were only three such days in the year. And who knows what memories must have been stirred in the hearts of these outcasts at the coming of such a day. The great festivals of the church make a vivid impression on the minds of peasants from childhood upwards. They are the days of rest from their hard toil, the days of family gatherings. In prison they must have been remembered with grief and heartache. Respect for the solemn day had passed indeed into a custom strictly observed among the convicts. Very few caroused. All were serious and seemed preoccupied, though many of them really had nothing to do. But whether they drank or did nothing, they tried to keep up a certain dignity. It seemed as though laughter was prohibited. In fact, they showed a tendency to be over-particular and irritably intolerant. And if anyone jarred on the prevailing mood, even by accident, the convicts set on him with outcries and abuse, and were angry with him, as though he had shown disrespect to the holiday itself. This state of mind in the convicts was remarkable and positively touching. Apart from their innate reverence for the great day, the convicts felt unconsciously that by the observance of Christmas they were, as it were, in touch with the whole of the world, that they were not altogether outcasts and lost men, not altogether cut off, that it was the same in prison as amongst other people. That's what they felt. It was evident and easy to understand. Akim Akimich, too, made great preparations for the holiday. He had no home memories, for he had grown up an orphan among strangers and had faced the hardships of military service before he was 16. He had nothing very joyful to remember in his life, for he had always lived regularly and monotonously, afraid of stepping one hair's breadth out of the prescribed path. He was not particularly religious either, for propriety seemed to have swallowed up in him all other human qualities and attributes, all passions and desires, bad and good alike. And so he was preparing for the festival without anxiety or excitement, untroubled by painful and quite useless reminiscences, but with a quiet, methodical propriety which was just sufficient for the fulfillment of his duties and of the ritual that has been prescribed once and for all. As a rule, he did not care much for reflection. The inner meaning of things never troubled his mind, but he followed rules with religious exactitude once they had been laid down for him. If it had been made the rule to do exactly the opposite, he would have done that tomorrow with the same docility and scrupulousness. Only once in his life had he tried to act on his own judgment, and that had brought him to prison. The lesson had not been thrown away on him. And though destiny withheld from him forever all understanding of how he had been to blame, he had deduced a solitary principle from his misadventure, never to use his own judgment again under any circumstances, for sense was not his strong point, as the convicts used to say. In his blind devotion to established ritual, he even looked with a sort of anticipatory reverence upon the festal suckling pig, which he himself stuffed with kasha and then roasted. For he knew how to cook, as though regarding it not as an ordinary pig which could be bought and roasted any day, but as a special holiday pig. Perhaps he had been used from childhood to see a suckling pig on the table at Christmas, and had deduced from it that a suckling pig was indispensable to the occasion. And I am sure that if he had once missed tasting suckling pig on Christmas Day, he would, for the rest of his life, have felt a conscience prick at having neglected his duty. Until Christmas Day, he remained in his old jacket and trousers, which were quite threadbare, though neatly darned. It appeared now that he had been carefully keeping away in his box the new suit given to him 4 months ago, and had refrained from touching it with the delectable idea of putting it on for the first time on Christmas Day. And so he did. On Christmas Eve, he got out his new suit, unfolded it, examined it, brushed it, blew on it, and tried it on. The suit seemed a good fit. Everything was as it should be, buttoning tightly to the collar. The high collar stood up stiff as cardboard under his chin. At the waist, it fitted closely, almost like a uniform. Akim Akimich positively grinned with delight, and not without a certain swagger, he turned before the tiny looking-glass, round which, at some leisure moment, he had pasted a border of gold paper. Only one hook on the collar seemed not quite in the right place. Noticing it, Akim Akimich made up his mind to alter it. He moved it, tried the coat on again, and then it was exactly right. Then he folded it up as before and put it away in his box again, with his mind at rest. His head was satisfactorily shaved, but examining himself carefully in the looking-glass, he noticed that his head did not seem perfectly smooth. There was a scarcely visible growth of hair, and he went at once to the major to be properly shaved, according to regulation. And although Akim Akimich was not to be inspected next day, he was shaved simply for conscience' sake, that he might leave no duty unperformed before Christmas. A reverence for epaulettes, buttons, and details of uniform had from childhood been indelibly impressed upon his mind and upon his heart, as a duty that could not be questioned, and as the highest form of beauty that could be attained by a decent man. After this, as the senior convict in the ward, he gave orders for hay to be brought in, and carefully superintended the laying of it on the floor. The same thing was done in the other wards. I don't know why, but hay was always laid on the floor at Christmas time. Then, having finished his labours, Akim Akimich said his prayers, lay down on his bed, and at once fell into a sweet sleep, like a baby's, to wake up as early as possible next morning. All the convicts did the same, however. In all the wards they went to bed much earlier than usual. Their usual evening pursuits were laid aside. There was no thought of cards. All was expectation for the coming day. At last it came. Quite early, before daybreak, as soon as the morning drum had sounded, the wards were unlocked, and the sergeant on duty, who came in to count over the prisoners, gave them Christmas greetings, and was greeted by them in the same way, with warmth and cordiality. After hastily saying their prayers, Akim Akimich and many of the others who had geese or suckling pigs in the kitchen hurried off to see what was being done with them, how the roasting was getting on, where they had been put, and so on. From the little prison windows blocked up with snow and ice, through the darkness we could see bright fires in both kitchens that had been kindled before daybreak, glowing in all the six ovens. Convicts were already flitting across the courtyard with their sheepskins properly put on or flung across their shoulders, all rushing to the kitchen. Some, though very few, had already been to the publicans. They were the most impatient. On the whole, everyone behaved decorously, peaceably, and with an exceptional seemliness. One heard nothing of the usual swearing and quarrelling. Everyone realized that it was a great day and a holy festival. Some went into other wards to greet special friends. One saw signs of something like friendship. I may mention in parenthesis that there was scarcely a trace of friendly feeling among the convicts. I don't mean general friendliness, that goes without saying. I mean the personal affection of one convict for another. There was scarcely a trace of such a feeling among us, and it is a remarkable fact. It is so different in the world at large. All of us, as a rule, with very rare exceptions, were rough and cold in our behaviour to one another, and this was, as it were, the accepted attitude adopted once and for all.